Well, it's good to be back, and I sure have enjoyed the meeting, and I just want to say that I kind of felt bad because I didn't say anything about this when I had a chance to say it the other morning about how much I appreciate the meeting, but I'll cut it down to this. I really appreciate the good meals. Those were top-notch. Anywhere I've ever been, any time, those are great. Sounds strange to be introduced as an evangelist after 45 years in a full-time pastoring, and who knows what will happen. I might be whatever God wants me to do. That's sure. What I'm ready to do it.
Yes, amen.
But people ask me, how does it feel to be out of that pastorate? And I haven't had one twinge of regret.
Amen.
I never wanted to be anything in my since I got called but a pastor.
Right.
Never. And I'm happy as a clam. Amen. It's good to be in the will of God. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate all the singing tonight, and some of you know this, a few of you do, that I really appreciate it when the music gives me a little confirmation about the message.
Yes, sir.
And so I'd like to ask you just to turn to John chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 16. And I've been thinking about this all day. I think it'll be a real compliment to that God can use it in preparation for Brother Ballou when he comes to speak on missions. I feel like I've had an immersion course in the subject of missions the last 2 days. I really, really, really appreciate it. We're going to read from John chapter 3 and verse 16. I read an interesting story. Since it's just one verse, I'll bring this up. Years ago, about a young Englishman by the name of Henry Morehouse. He was saved when he was 16. He was a gambler and a thief and just a very wicked, wicked young man. And he got saved in that some of those revival services they had over there in 1859 when he was 16 years old. And it wasn't long until the Lord called him to preach. And he commenced preaching, he was known for preaching on John 3:16. And he died early. I say he died early, but he was 40 years old. And on his deathbed, some of his last words were, "I wish I could preach from that verse." That says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. One time he was talking to D.L. Moody, and as the story goes, he said to Moody, he said, you're sailing on the wrong tack. And if you'll change your course and learn to preach God's words instead of your own words, God will do a great work in you. So before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the privilege that it is and the joy that it is. And Lord, such a blessing as you pour out your blessings upon us to be in your house again tonight. Thank you for the good preaching that we've had in this meeting and the wonderful fellowship, the spiritual refreshment that we've had. We pray your richest blessings upon the church for hosting this meeting. We pray your blessings upon each and every one of us that are assembled in this place tonight. Lord, if there be any here that are lost, we pray that you'll move their heart, touch them, convict them, and that they'd be saved before they leave this place this evening. We pray that you'll speak to every one of our hearts, revive us who are saved. And Lord, we pray you'd stir our pure minds up by way of remembrance about what a wonderful gift you've given to us in your so great salvation. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. Now, John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." And you know the context. A man came seeking information. Stirred in his soul. He was a religious man.
Yes, sir.
And he was among the religious elite. He wasn't like a lot of the hidebound Pharisees of his day. He was a leader. He was moral. He was respected. But he had heard of and he had heard Jesus, no doubt. And he came to him asking him the way, as the song says, of eternal life. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he elaborated on that some more, and he got to what we know as John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Please be seated. One of the modern day commentators said this. He said, who will ever know how many millions of Adam's ruined race have found their way to heaven by the discovery of John 3:16. I was thinking about this when Brother Mann was talking about the their printing work, how that years and years ago, missionaries in China used to carry a lot of little pieces of paper, and they all had John 3:16 printed on them. That's all they had, was just that one verse. And it was printed in Chinese, in the different dialects, and they would hand those verses out to the Chinese people. And of course, the Chinese didn't understand all that was in that verse, and there's a lot in that verse, amen? But the verse was so provocative to them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was so provocative to them that it opened the door as they asked those missionaries simply, what does this mean? What a leading question, amen? What does this mean? Well, I want you to follow along with me, and I'm going to preach as quickly as I can, but I want you to see some things in this one verse. When you look at John 3:16, there comes to view the mystery of God. That's pretty profound. And in John 3:16, there's a motive in view. And there's a mission in view. And God had a method. And it's revealed in John 3:16. God had a mandate. As this verse closes out. In the first place, the verse begins, Jesus began like this for God. Amen. That's what people need. They need God. For God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 begins the Bible like this. In the beginning, God. There's no explanation. There's no argument. Just a plain proclamation and declaration and statement of fact. In the beginning, God. God doesn't present an argument for His existence. He simply announces His existence. Amen? And so we think about the solitariness of God. There's only one God. That is a constant refrain of the ancient Israelite, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, our God, and he said it again, is one Lord. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 113 and verse 5, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Amen. Amen. I want to say that again. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Amen. Isaiah 45 and 5, the Lord said, I am the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. The solitariness of God. There's nothing that's ever been conjured up in the imagination of men that begins to describe God. The solitary. In the beginning, God. Not the gods, but God. And the sovereignty of God. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. God's alone in His omnipotence. Yes, sir. He's all-powerful. He's alone in His omniscience. He knows everything.
Yes, he does.
He's alone in His omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time. He's here tonight. He knows everybody here. He knows all about us. He knows the thoughts that are on our minds right now. He's an omniscient God. And so again, I ask the question in a rhetorical way, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? And so we move in this verse to the motive. The motive. The mystery of God, but God had a motive. And this is profound too. That's why I appreciated that last song so much. For God, there's none like Him. And here's one of the biggest reasons why. So loved. God so loved. I started to say because that's the way God is, but that's who God is. Amen. That is really what God is. God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, I'm praying for the church at Ephesus. I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's a pastor's prayer. Knows anything about the Bible, has any kind of a shepherd's heart. That's his prayer for the church that he pastors. Paul said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled, what a prayer, with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Paul wouldn't have been praying for that if he didn't know it was possible for a child of God to be filled with all the fullness of God. The very thought of it humbles me down right now. For God so loved. Well, let me say this. God's love is an unfathomable love. Amen. It's so deep. If you connected all of the measuring devices in the whole world that's ever existed, His love would be deeper than that.
Right.
It's an unfathomable love.
Yes,
it's an incomprehensible love. It's an inscrutable love.
Yes,
it's an unimaginable love. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love. It's talking about us, beloved. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That same Henry Morehouse said this. He said, if I could borrow Jacob's ladder and climb up into heaven and ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Almighty, to tell me how much love the Father has for the world, all he could say would be, Henry Morehouse, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is infinite. It's immeasurable. It's immutable. Never changes. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It's an unfathomable love. But it gets more profound than that because it's an undeserved love. Hey, amen. And we must never forget this and roll it around in our minds frequently that none of us deserve to be the recipient of God's love. It was undeserved. I sure know that His love was undeserved by me. It's undeserved. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God, and yet God so loved the world. Romans 5 and 8, God commendeth His love toward us, even though we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. 1 John 4 and 10, herein is love, not that we loved God. I didn't really have God on my mind when I came under the preaching of the gospel. I was in church, but I wasn't in church because I had God on my mind. I was putting on a show and putting on an act because I had a girl on my mind. I found out that she went to church. I found out where she went to church. I did everything I could to get her to invite me to church. She didn't, so I invited myself. And I showed up one day, and I kept coming, and I kept coming, and probably for at least a couple of months, I wasn't paying a bit of attention to the pastor, the preacher. That's not what I was there for. But by and by, the Word of God, amen, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even to the dividing of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God that's like a hammer began to break my heart into pieces. It's like a fire that burneth. And I came under conviction of my sin. And I wanted to be saved, but the devil said, You're too dirty to be saved. You've done too much to be saved. You can relate to this. And he piled that sin up before my mind like a mountain. And I was believing it. The Holy Spirit did His work to convict me of my sin. Then the devil did his dirty work. Then the Holy Spirit stepped in again and did a convincing work. To convince me that God loved me and that He would save me. Amen. I'm just here tonight to remind us all, stir our pure minds up by way of remembrance that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a God. Amen. There's none like Him. When you go on and you look at this verse, you see the mystery of God here. You see the mission of God. His motive and then His mission. God had a mission. It's in the next two words. For God so loved the world. He's a big God. He's taking on a big mission. The whole world of mankind. What a God. God so loved the world. Now, I just want to say this. This is big in its scope, this mission. It's universal. God didn't look at this world in an exclusive way. He looked at it in an inclusive way. Nobody's excluded. Amen. So much for Calvinism. Let me say it again. So much for Calvinism. God so loved the world. The world means the world. Not the world of the non-elect. It means the world of lost men and women dying and on their way to hell. The whole world. Peter said, and you ought to know, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. But He's not willing that any, not that any. If you're here in loss, you're part of the any that God is not willing would come, would be, help me out. That any would perish, but that all, if you're part of the all, would come to repentance. Amen. Let me just toss this in real quick. God is not up in heaven wringing His hands, all agitated and fidgeting around on His throne, and sending His servants by to beg people to repent. Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The message to every lost sinner tonight is God is not begging you to repent. He's not trying to trick you into repent, to coax you into repenting. God Almighty is commanding that you repent of your sin and turn to Him. Amen. Turn to God in repentance and in faith to His Son, Jesus Christ. What a mission. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's the way God wants it. 1 John 2:2, and He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. That's why I put Vietnam on the Matthews hearts. The whole world. That's why Brother Stennett has what he has on his heart. The whole world. That's why every man of God here and their help meets are where you're at is because God has put the world on your heart. God's interested in the world. The whole world of lost men and women. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He by the grace of God should taste death for, get this, every man. Every man. So much for John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul, who sure knows better now. Amen. And all of the rest. And I'm not trying to be vicious to anybody. But some people are terribly confused. God did not send His Son to die for a certain select portion of this population on planet Earth. He sent His blessed Son to die for the whole world. 1 Timothy 2:4. God who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen. God doesn't just want people to be saved. He wants them to come to the New Testament, to the truth, and that's why He gave us the New Testament church, the pillar in the ground of truth. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. Psalmist is exalting in this, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Amen. Big God, big mission. It's a mission to a world of ruined humanity. Amen. Some time back, I preached a sermon on this, and God moved on my heart, brought this back to remembrance. When I thought I'd check out a pawn shop that I'd driven by for years in our town, I went in one day, and it was the filthiest, nastiest pawn shop I'd ever been in. And none of them are pristine. Broken instruments, strings broke, battered up cases, tools that didn't half work if they worked at all, people's junk that they brought in to a pawn shop. The idea is somebody will come in to redeem that property. I thought when I looked around, who would want to redeem this? It's just a bunch of ruined junk. And it's not going to be long until they're going to be backing a truck up and it's going to be taken to the incinerator. And as I looked around, I thought, that's what I was one time. A bunch of ruined junk, trashy, dirty, unusable, worthless. Amen. But somebody came down with the redemption price and took me out of where I was. Amen. God so loved the world. Talking about a mission to a world of ruined humanity. The wages of sin is death, but the gift. That's the way God is. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was a mission, it's bad enough to be ruined. But this is a mission to rebellious humanity. Amen. This is a mission to lost men and women who have no thought for God. Who will make merchandise of the house of God and holy things for the sake of satisfying and gratifying their flesh at chasing a good godly girl. Amen. Rebellious humanity. I wasn't running after God, but God had His eye on me all the time. I didn't know it. It was a mission to rebellious humanity. Romans chapter 3, we're all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And verse 12 says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That describes our planet today. The reason things are like they are in America today, there's a lot of reasons. But here's the bottom line reason, sin. And I want to throw this out real quick. We've got all of this unimaginable filth in our country. And we are just on the verge of, I think, losing our liberty in our country and finding ourselves thrown into a situation beyond anything we could ever imagine, our wildest nightmare. Now brace yourselves for this. You may not agree with me, but I believe it. We got all this transgenderism, these cross-dressing, and we got enough of that cross-dressing anyway. Amen. Somebody said, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I'm just sick and tired of this cross-dressing. Well, I saw him and his wife on the plane that morning. Amen. Somebody was cross-dressing, and you can guess who it was. Now, I'm not looking for a cheap amen. What I'm saying is the church was to be the light of the world. Amen. And the salt of the earth. And hold up a standard and celebrate everything God has done, including our gender, celebrated in such a way, carry ourselves in such a way, appear in such a way that we celebrate what God has done instead of arguing against it and casting confusion in the whole world. And that is just one of the most blatant examples of how the church has failed because people could not obey in a simple thing like how they dress themselves. Now there you have it. Amen. It's a lot more serious than just, well, that's just those old fuddy-duddy preacher's pet peeve, getting on dress. Yeah. Amen. It applies to men and women both.
Sure.
The Bible defines modesty and so on. I didn't intend to say this, but I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We're in deep weeds.
Yes, sir, we are.
When God's people ignore what the word abomination means.
Right.
On the most simple levels. And I tell you, beloved, here's a word of encouragement. It doesn't matter if the whole world does it, if the most popular parts of the ministry are doing it. Forget all about that and keep doing the right thing.
Amen.
You kids can say amen to that. We're with mom and dad in that. We're going to stick with that because it's right. This is a mission. What a mission. What a mission. To a world that celebrates its disbelief and its denial of God. No wonder the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world is seeped in wickedness today. That's where we are. Now let's look at the next phrase. Look at God. Go from God's motive and His mission to His method. God, there's the mystery of God, so loved, this is His motivation. The world, that's His mission. What a God.
Amen.
He had a method. Here it is, that He gave His only begotten Son.
Amen.
Amen. It took it took this method, this divine method, if you will, to meet such a great, great need. The cross was the consequence of God's love, not the cause of it. Some of the people in days gone by, and maybe some still think that God's a hateful God and He always had it in for people, hated them, till Jesus came down, died on the cross, and changed God the Father's attitude. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
That's right.
The cross was the consequence of God's love.
Right.
Not the cause of it.
That's right.
The cross of Jesus Christ is the result of God's love.
Amen.
Not the reason for His love.
Amen.
God is love.
Amen.
Our God, the God of this Bible, has always been love.
Amen.
Our Father
right.
is love.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why, because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Over in 1 John 4, in verse 8, where it says God is love, and verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, sound familiar, that we might live through Him.
Amen.
Now God acted personally. This was His method. In terms of the revelation of Himself. Amen. The revelation of Himself He provided to mankind. God said, I'm going to go down among them. I'm going to let them see me, hear, listen to me, handle me. I'm going to let them see what God is like.
Amen.
1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God personally provided a revelation of Himself to mankind. And then God acted personally in terms of the reconciliation to Himself that He made possible for mankind. And this is where we come in a big way. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 says, God was in Christ. He that has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said.
Right.
Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, see that?
Yep.
He's committed it unto us, the word of reconciliation. 1 Peter 3 and 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. What a Christ.
Amen.
And I love this phrase, that He might bring us to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul wrote, He who knew no sin, think about it, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
And here's God's mandate. For God so loved the world. Here's His method, that He gave His only begotten Son. Here's His mandate. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know who this word pertains to? Whosoever believeth in Him.
That's right.
Amen. Whosoever trusts in Him, clings to Him, relies on Him, adheres to Him, turns it all over to Him, forgets about it. Amen. There's a certain class involved in this phrase. You know who it is? It's the whosoever class. Amen. Praise God for that. There's a certain condition in view here, and the condition is simply this. Believeth in Him. That's the terms. Believeth in Him. And here's what this word provides. It provides escape.
That's right.
That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I was on my way as fast as I could go. So were you.
Yes,
to hell.
Yes, sir.
It could have happened any time.
Yep.
Death could have come and I would have went barreling into hell.
Right.
But God had a way of escape.
Should
not perish. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape?
Yep.
if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. See, what the Word is providing here is an escape, and more pointedly, everlasting life.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You do know that there's two whosoevers. I mentioned the class. Well, there's two whosoevers. The Bible mentions both. One is right here. There's the whosoever of salvation.
Yeah.
Be honest about it. Which one of these whosoevers is where you live?
Yeah.
Are you here? Whosoever believeth in Him. Hath everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. There's another whosoever. And probably with a group of people this large tonight, there's some here that fit right here. Here's where you are right now. It's in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. John's says, I saw a great white throne. He's looking up through his prophetic telescope, and God is giving him a picture of the great white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great. They're all before God. Everybody there is lost at this judgment. They're indicted by their own sins, their lostness. And the Bible says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two whosoevers, Brother Stennett. Whosoever will may come. Here I am. And whosoever was not found in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Pastor.